It's the first annual Twitter-a-thon with Amy Goo.
Pull out your phone and tweet right now at Amy Goo. Tweet, tweet, Twitter, Twitter, tweet, tweet. Do it with your hands or your feet. Yeah!
I see that song has resurfaced, Craig.
Yeah, it's we're still doing the Twitter-a-thon. This is 3 hours, the entire show.
So the plan was that you and Patty were going to get me in here in the first segment.
Correct.
And then just make me stay the whole show.
Correct. I think we were just going to continue to do the tweet-a-thon, and we were going to ask all of our listeners who donate to your Kickstarter campaign to tweet us, letting us know that they donated, and then we're giving away prizes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, since we've been here and you have been playing that awesome song that you created for me, which I don't even know where to start with how awesome that is.
You're welcome.
Some people have backed me on Kickstarter and backed the project that I'm doing about women and online harassment, but
right.
No one has tweeted that they have done so.
Okay.
So I have no idea if they're just randomly backing the project or if they are
Got
doing
it.
So as a result of our prompting.
Yeah,
so
please.
They should call you or text.
Let us know.
They
text us.
Text 312-981-7200. Let Craig know mm-hmm. that's you and that you heard it here so we can put you in the drawing for a Luminati's gift card.
A $25 Luminati's gift card. So if you donate $25, you might get all of it back in a gift card, just so you know, people.
See?
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that's happening.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, I super appreciate that song because it is awesome. Ah, goodness. All right. Again, the awesome Twitter song has thrown me off my game and I forget what the heck I was about to talk about. But I remember because we have our good friend Rex Hupke on the phone. He is the unofficial political correspondent of my show, which is on Saturday evenings. Hi there, Rex Hupke. How the heck are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I love that song.
Wasn't that awesome? I was surprised by that at the top of the show. I had
it's
there
the
it is.
First annual Twitter-a-thon.
I really like the line about tweet and then do it with your hands or do it with your feet. I like that. What you know?
Yeah.
So few things rhyme with tweet. What are you gonna do? That's cleaner for the air anyway. Good times. Well, hello. Nice to talk
hello.
With you, Rex Hupke. How's it going?
It's going great. Happy to be here.
Well, so as the unofficial political correspondent of the Amy Guth Show, we have to get an update from you about the GOP debate that was this evening, because Twitter was, speaking of Twitter, on fire during that time with lots of people having lots of opinions. But I'm interested to hear your take of how it went.
Yeah, it was interesting. there are many different things to take away from it. My personal favorite part, I think, was Marco Rubio saying that we need fewer philosophers and more welders. So I helped him with a new campaign slogan of welding our way to a better tomorrow.
What does
Rubio
that,
2016.
What does that even mean exactly? What was the context that he was trying to get at?
There seemed to be kind of, and this came through in a couple of places actually tonight, where it almost seemed like a, you know, anti- education, that's not fair, I guess. Basically saying, you know, we need people who can do just get out there and make money, basically, and have jobs. But it was sort of discouraging people from getting, a college education in a sense. I mean,
see.
That's what it really, which was kind of an odd approach, I think, especially in our economy. And also, I saw fairly quickly people pulled the numbers on welders versus philosophy majors. And first of all, there are already far more welders than there are philosophy majors. People with a philosophy degree make considerably more money than the welders do. So I don't really know if you're looking for career advice, if that's exactly the way to go. And that's not to say anything against welders whatsoever. But,
philosophy majors.
Yeah, or philosopher, right, or any of them. Now, I imagine out there somewhere there is a welder philosopher who has had a very big night tonight. He's finally been recognized.
Right. There's that PhD in philosophy who's making a living as a welder who's like, finally, it's my day.
Yes, exactly. So, that was kind of odd. I mean, I kind of get what – I mean, I think the point there is that you want more people just – getting jobs and working and stuff. But I flies in the face of where our economy is heading and what people really need to succeed in the long run anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what to take from that. The other big thing was Donald Trump talking about his plans to deport people who are undocumented people who are in the country. And sending a big shout out to Eisenhower's deportation plan, which he used a while back, which was actually called, it had a, what is now considered a slur for Mexican people, mm-hmm. in the name of the actual plan when it was in place. And it's considered one of the more kind of horrifying parts of our history, where they rounded up and deported a huge number of people under rather terrible conditions. And Trump spoke about it as though it was the greatest thing that's ever happened. And so it was a very weird thing, too. I don't know how familiar he was with what he was talking about, but it was the kind of thing where you could just see the people in Hillary Clinton's campaign room jumping up and down and shouting in glee as the Latino vote
right.
went even more towards her side. So anyway, yeah, it was weird. I mean, there were some good substantive parts of it, and I thought that you had Jeb Bush and John Kasich especially sounding very reasonable, which is the death knell for both of them, I imagine. But you know, they spoke much more compassionately when it came to immigration, and much more reasonable when it came to dealing with certain parts of the economy and financial issues and that sort of thing. But reason and compassion will only get you so far in this race, I think.
Right. Not in the American political system. We will have none of that reason and compassion business. Nope.
Yes, absolutely not.
Well, so I'm curious about Carson a bit, because it seems like he's had he's been in the hot seat a lot in the last couple of weeks.
Yes, and he, you know, this is one of those things where it's pretty amazing to me, the media world that we live in. And I blame this a lot on, I mean, I think we've become people are only receiving what they want to hear now more than ever.
On both sides.
Right, on both sides, exactly. And that explains, I think, MSNBC and Fox News. You kind of have, you know, sort of your left and right news spigots that you can go to if you want to, and then online, of course, you can just sort of tailor what you consume to you know, whatever you feel is true. And so, you know, there were legitimate questions brought up about Ben Carson's background this past week, and he's not a politician, which is something he really touts as one of his better attributes. So he doesn't really have anything to for people to examine in terms of his qualifications, and he's made his life story a very central part of his campaign. So you know, looking at that life story and the veracity of it is a perfectly reasonable and important thing to do. And so, you know, the immediate cry was, oh, it's the liberal media, but then you have the Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. you know, finding inconsistencies and all this kind of stuff. And so through all of that, stuff that I thought would really make people open their eyes and realize that this guy is a very much kind of making stuff up, just to be perfectly straight.
Yeah.
There's probably a fancier word I could use, but he just, you know, he got asked about it during the debate and just said, well, you know, this is just I you know, how am I supposed to remember something I said 30 years ago or 50 years ago exactly? And, you know, the people don't care about that. They care about issues moving forward. And he just managed to deflect the whole thing, which I found staggering. And I think, you know, I think the moderators, if they'd gone a little bit more aggressively after that, maybe they could have pushed him a bit more. But, you know, it almost seems like he's just managed to turn this thing, blame it on the liberal media, which everybody on the right hates, and you know, off he goes. I think he's going to come out of this relatively unscathed, which is not when it first started happening. I thought the wheels were going to come off the wagon completely, but somehow or another, he seems to have just conned everybody into disregarding this stuff. Mm-hmm. And these are substantial, you know, either overblown details or completely fabricated details. That really raises, I think, some serious questions about him. But again, people like him, they're just not going to listen. You know, they're going to hear is whatever confirms their own beliefs. And of course, that happens on the left too. It's certainly not just a conservative or Republican thing by any stretch. But with him, yeah, the issues over the past week were virtually meaningless in this debate. And I think offhand, you know, the people that like him, he probably came off very well tonight, despite seeming to not really say anything at all.
Right, right.
You know,
I wonder if he was kind of, I'm sure he has, I'm sure they all have handlers that kind of coach them through these things. And I'm sure given how, you know, in some cases, rather fantastical some of his headlines were this in the last couple of weeks, I'm sure he had someone like, okay, I'm going to need you to play that down. I'm going to need you to say, I do not recall what I said. I need you to reel it in and not be too clear on. I mean, if I were his handler, that's what I would tell him. Like, you know what? Maybe bring that in a notch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he definitely, I mean, he puts up this kind of really indignant front about how dare the media ask me questions like this while simultaneously complaining about Obama not being properly vetted. I mean, it's really amazing, frankly, And Obama was the first president who's ever had to provide a long-form birth certificate to prove he was an American.
And even that didn't suffice. That's still, Trump is still a birther, and he's still convinced that it's a fraud.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, how dare you not vet him, and then how dare you vet me? It's basically, it just makes no sense at all. It's really confounding. But yeah, I think you're right. They just figured out the right way to handle this, and boy, did they nail it. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think it's handled honestly, but in terms of a political campaign, they handled it brilliantly. So
I think political strategist would be a fascinating job. I think you'd drive yourself crazy and burn out quickly, but I think it'd be really, really interesting. My friends, we're chatting with Rex Hupke. He is a Chicago Tribune columnist, but he's also the official, unofficial political correspondent of the Amy Guth Show. So we had to have him on here on GOP debate night to talk it all out. But we're going to take a quick break and come right back and talk more all about it. We'll be right back in just a bit. 720 WGN. WGN 720. We gotta let that one play a minute. It's so good. I love that song. It's so fun. You can't help but like dance in your seat when you hear that song. It's a good one. Hey there, it's Amy Guth in for Patty Vasquez this fine evening. Thanks for being with us. 312-981-7200. We're taking your calls and text messages. Thoughtful, kind, polite, darling comments.
Those ones, yep.
Always appreciated so very much, especially when we're talking politics with our good friend Rex Hupke, who is the official, unofficial political correspondent for the Amy Guth Show on Saturday evenings. But we had to trot him out here tonight because it is GOP debate night. So we, of course, want to hear his take on that and slice it and dice it and think about it and read into it in every possible way, as we do with every debate, because that's what we do. So I know of course, the big things came up, but I feel like the last debate, the moderators were under so much scrutiny for not asking, quote unquote, real questions. And everyone thought they had an agenda. Everyone was super angry. Do we feel like the moderators reacted to that, maybe held back or maybe changed course on purpose?
Yeah, I think they definitely held back. And to some degree, I think it was good. Tonight's debate, I think the questions were good. I don't feel like they, it's not like they were asking softball questions necessarily. It's just that they were not as, they weren't as quick with the sort of loading up on facts and then, you know, sort of chasing the candidates down when they, actually went against some of those facts. I mean, there were a lot of things said in tonight's debate that went unchallenged that were pretty strange, including, you know, a lot about Obamacare and various other things. So,
and part of that was like a time crunch, right? Because they were like 90 seconds for a response and then 60 seconds for rebuttal tonight, correct?
Yeah, and they had this really annoying bell that nobody paid attention to. It was kind of if I felt bad for anyone in the debate, it was the bell. Because nobody, they would be like, ding, you know, nobody would pay attention. They'd
poor
just keep
bell.
Talking. And
can't get a break as a bell.
Yeah,
so,
no,
so if you had to hard. If you had to declare kind of a quote-unquote winner of the tonight's debate, like, or a star of it, who would you say that was?
Oh, boy. I guess, Lord, it was pretty tough. I mean, that was another thing, actually, that's kind of interesting, is that this debate, there weren't a lot of big moments, I didn't think, and that's in part because it was not a very testy debate. I mean, there was not a lot of back and forth. I mean, I'll get to the answer in a second, but the other debates, I think, really perhaps a little too much, were pitting the candidates against each other, and it seemed they were doing that. It seemed like almost for theatrics, but in this case, it was almost a little too mellow, and so it didn't really give anybody a huge chance to stand out. I think Marco Rubio continued to do well, and I think that. I mean, for my money, honestly, John Kasich is the one who makes the most sense. And, that is probably not – my view on that is not going to sync with a lot of the Republican primary voters, I don't think. But he just seems very sensible. He seems like he's really approaching things from a – you know, not inhabiting this sort of fantasy land where we can – You know, deport 11 million people, and we can, you sure. know, do this, that, and the other thing with taxes without affecting the deficit, and on and on and on. So, you know, and I thought he again had a strong debate performance again, but he's so far down in the polls, I don't know how much that matters. Jeb Bush got in it a little bit more, but he's just, you almost feel sorry for him at this point. He just seems to be getting marginalized. And then
he's got some negative yardage to overcome. I think he's had kind of a, we've seen him fall in polling numbers quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And so I mean, if I had to give it to anybody, it would probably be Rubio, mm-hmm. but because everybody else just seemed to kind of stay pretty much status quo. I mean, I thought Ben Carson did fine for who he is. And again, Ben Carson to me does not make any sense at all. I don't think he has. I think he's way out over his skis in most issues. And but people don't seem to care about that. They like him and. So I don't know how much the knowledge base or the actual qualifications matter there, and that's kind of the
same.
Well,
you said, when you started, that people on both sides kind of hear what they want, and that's sort of the danger of it. I mean, I recently was talking to someone who said he makes a point to, when he's talking with his children, who are, old enough to understand, he gives them news stories and op-eds and things like that to read, but he takes the name out so they don't know. So they say, I support that one person who said the following things and stands this way on this issue, and not, so they don't kind of get roped in with the theatrics or the personality or, all of those things. We've got to run already. We are already out of time. But in closing, the one question I do have is, how much do you think people missed the people who were not in the debate tonight, that were moved to the 7 o'clock debate?
I think Chris Christie was a real loss, frankly. I think the rest of them can pound sand, frankly. They are not going to go anywhere and aren't really worth listening to in the first place. But Lindsey Graham and Bobby mm-hmm. Jindal and those guys, they're just working it for book deals and higher speaking fees. Chris Christie, though, I think, again, he's someone who can be a lot more centrist. I mean, he's got the whole tough guy, loud, obnoxious kind of persona or whatever that he uses. I think at the last debate, when he was on the main stage, he had a lot of good things to say, and he was a good voice in there. So I would say that he was missed. I think, like I said, the rest of them, Mike Huckabee and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Christie should have been on that stage, and he's certainly a whole lot more qualified than a lot of these people, including Ben Carson, for sure, who's really, practically a front runner at this point. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the fifth Republican debate is Tuesday, December 15th in Vegas, and the next Democratic debate is in Des Moines, Iowa on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Uh-huh.
So we will have to check in with you again soon. Thanks so much for being with us. Unofficial, official political correspondent Rex Hupke. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and get you to news. We'll be back in just a bit. 720 WGN.